Good morning, everyone. Isn't it lovely to come into a warm, cozy, dry church on a horrible wet morning? What a contrast to yesterday. As I drove up to the church, the temperature was exactly 10 degrees less than it was yesterday at its warmest. Scary changes. But it's wonderful to be together. I think all the intimations are printed on the order of service. The Macmillan coffee morning yesterday went very well. There was a really good turnout, and a couple of raffle prizes have been delivered this morning. And I would draw your attention to the Fourth Development Trust meetings each day this week. Tuesday through till Saturday, from 10 till 2 each day, there'll be a display on different things that the community are doing or planning to do in the Masonic halls across the road. And they'll be asking us to vote on some things, and also it's an opportunity to raise money towards the defibrillator appeal. So there is a poster, I think, at the back, and I would encourage everyone to go to that. Shoeboxes, I see that many of you are busy filling shoeboxes already. And life and work. I know that not a lot of people in the congregation get the Church of Scotland magazine Life and Work, but I would recommend it to anyone who's interested at all. It's not expensive and it's full of interesting articles. I'm going to quote from a little bit of one in today's sermon, actually. And of course, over the summer, not sure if it's summer today, I asked people to send postcards, and May's always very faithful. So today's postcard is, yesterday, members and friends visited Moat Bray House, the home of J.M. Barrie, when they travelled to Dumfries, seeing many items and information about Peter Pan, the boy who never grew up. And they also visited Moffat before returning home. A lovely outing from Brayhead Lunch and Leisure Club. So thank you all very much for faithfully bringing postcards back from all your trips. We are here to worship God. God is love. And we can only love one another because he first loved us. And God's love is a perfect love, which drives out fear. We have so much to be grateful for. So let us say alternate verses as usual. Our psalm for today is Psalm 113. The words will be on the screen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised, both now and evermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? Amen. So as we continue that thought of who is like God, let's sing our first hymn, especially for the youngsters, Who Put the Colours in the Rainbow? It's hymn 143 for those using the hymn book.
Thank you.
And did I hear that there might be a giraffe in the hall waiting for you? Well, somebody said that some of the roof tiles had moved, so maybe there is a giraffe. Or maybe there's other animals that are maybe a wee bit smaller. There might be a frog. Now, that is just amazing that you should suggest a frog, because I've got a story to tell you from my wee book, and it's called Monkeys, Frogs, and Badgers. So there's so many of you here today, I don't know if I'll remember all your names, will I? There's one or two new ones. You haven't been here for 3 weeks? So you can't possibly expect me. We're very honest in the jigsaw. You can't expect me to remember your name, but I'll see what I can do. I know Andrew, because we sang happy birthday to you, didn't we? And I heard that you had a pretty amazing party yesterday. Was it good? Good. And we've got Jennifer, and we've got Katie, and we've got Caroline, and we've got, are you Ewan? Yeah, I got it right. Whoa, 3 weeks away and I got you right.
Two
Ewans, yes. And Jack. Uh-huh. I always think you've got your name written on your forehead. And Lewis.
Yeah.
And Aaron.
Yes.
And Callan. And Rowan. And Eva. It's lovely to see you, Eva. You're not dancing today. That's great. And Ewan Mark II, and Ross, and Kyle.
Yes.
And now you came for the first time last week, didn't you? Can I remember your name? Maybe somebody will whisper it to me.
Noel.
Laurel. So instead of being an island, we're going into trees now. So Laurel, and what's your wee brother's name?
Noah.
Isn't that lovely? So you should know all about the animals. So nobody else hiding?
Yes.
Oh, Rory, are you trying to pretend you're not here? I see you. Well, it's lovely to welcome each and every one of you, and I know that I'm not to keep you too long because you're excited to see these animals. But I thought this was quite a nice story to make us think about looking after animals. There were once three big bare mountains. They lived a quiet life. Every day they stood still under the sun, and every night they stood still under the moon. Then one day, each of them received a catalogue from the postman. You've got to just allow your imagination to work here. The mountains eagerly looked through their catalogues. The first mountain came to the monkeys section and thought they looked wonderful, so he ordered some monkeys. The second mountain was drawn to the frogs section, Ewan. They looked really marvelous, so he ordered some of them. And the third mountain opened his catalogue at the badgers section. Well, he looked no further. Badgers would be just perfect. Night came, but the mountains were so excited that it took them a long time to fall asleep. And as they slept, they dreamed of monkeys, frogs, and badgers. Early the next morning, the first mountain woke up to find at his feet the monkeys he'd ordered. The second mountain looked down and saw all the frogs. The third mountain woke up to find his badgers. All day, the mountains played with their new animals, and the new animals enjoyed their new mountains. But soon, all the animals became hungry, and there was no food. Then the sun went down, and there was nowhere for them to go to keep warm. So they lay on the ground and shivered. Everyone was hungry and uncomfortable. And the monkeys wished there was light because they like to read at night. Any of the monkeys round about here do that as well? You do. Yeah, I think we've got one or two monkeys in church who like to read at night. When all the animals had gone to sleep, the mountains had a meeting. They felt terrible. They had only thought of how much fun it would be for them to have the animals. They never even considered whether the animals would like their new home or not. They realized how selfish they had been. "We must do everything we can so that the animals won't leave us," said the first mountain. "Nope. We must do it because it's our duty to take care of them," said the second mountain. "We will be good to them because we love them," said the third mountain. So they got out their catalogues again, and the next day there was a big box of food at the foot of each mountain. After a big, healthy breakfast, the animals felt so good that they sang to the mountains until lunchtime. In the afternoon, there were more surprises. There were torches for the monkeys made of starlight, and bouncy balls for the frogs made from pebbles that flew across the mountainside. And for the badgers, there were tapes of their favorite dancing tunes put together by the wind. Don't think I've ever seen a badger dance. When night came, it was cold again, but the mountains had a plan. They told the animals to curl up together in a cozy place, then they stood over them, making a warm shelter for them. The animals slept soundly, except for one of the badgers. He came out to yawn at the moon, and he looked up and he noticed that the mountains were shivering with the cold. "Our mountain friends shouldn't suffer to keep us warm," he said to himself. So he opened one of the catalogues, and he knew just what to order. Not a pair of sunglasses, no. 3 great big blankets arrived, beautifully decorated with grasses and flowers and shrubs. And that night, when the cold crept up, the animals wrapped the blankets round the mountains. Everyone was comfortable and warm. And everyone slept well. And even when winter came, everyone was happy. That an interesting story? As long as you don't have to.
Have frogs in my house.
As long as you don't have lumps in your house.
Frogs.
Frogs. Oh, okay, so you're interested in frogs, but you don't want them in your house. I'll tell you something funny. I was visiting a friend recently, and her little daughter came running up to me and told me that they'd got rats in the house. And I immediately went, ooh! And I said, where are they? And she said, they're up in the bedroom. And I went, ooh! And she said, they're pet rats. But let's have a word of prayer to God about all these different animals. Loving, living God, we thank you so much for all of your creation, especially the huge variety of animals that you have put on the world. Help us to remember that we need to look after the animals in our care, and they also do so much to make our lives better. And Lord, we thank you that you are the one and only God who created everything. And so we pray to you in the words that Jesus taught us, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Thank you very much for joining us, but I know you're desperate to see all Callum's creatures, aren't you? So we'll let you go now. You excited? See you after.
Hi, Laurel.
Hi, Noah. You have fun. As I was preparing for today's service, I came across a new hymn. Well, it's new words which fit to a hymn tune that we know quite well. So I'm going to ask Audrey to play it through for us once again, and then the words are printed on your order of service and they'll be on the screen. I think verse 2, there's one word that's a wee bit tricky to fit in with the music. First verse. Second line of the first verse, I think you have to say all passionate really quickly. But I trust you. You can manage to sing it fine. Thank you. I thought those words were just so appropriate for the day after we've seen so many climate change protest marches. Very topical. So as we come before God in prayer, there are responses in the first part of the prayer, which will be on the screen. And if anybody hasn't already got a printed sheet and can't see the screen, please put up your hand now, because I've got spare copies printed out. Anyone who can't read the screen? No, good. Let us come before God in prayer. People of God, let us praise our God. Let us join our voices with those of every age and place to praise the name of the Lord. Let all the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. From north and south and east and west, may voices ring with praise. From dense tropical forest to barren desert dunes, from temperate grasslands to windswept tundra, let all the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. In industrial heartlands and rural smallholdings, in high-tech computer labs and the artist's studio, in classroom and hospital, in night shelter and trendy cafe, let all the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. For there is no one like the Lord our God, powerful creating force, maker of heaven and earth, and yet intimate carer for every part and person of creation. There is no one like the Lord our God, who opts for the poor and brings to the center those who are brushed aside. There is no one like the Lord our God, who reaches out with tenderness and seeks our well-being, promising life in all its very fullness to all. Let all the people praise you. And we move to our prayers of confession. Loving, living God, we confess before you and before each other in the community that we have too readily deluded ourselves that we can serve two masters, that we can both serve you and buy into the justification of wealth creation in our world. We confess that we have been swept along by society's rhetoric that continual growth is the answer to our world's problems. We confess that we have valued the accumulation of our own possessions and personal finance over the needs of others and the abuse of the earth, our common home. We confess that we too often live according to our greed and not our need. Gracious God, you offer us a different vision of your new heaven and earth, where resources are shared, where land is held in common, where all are welcome, regardless of ability to pay, and all receive according to their need. Forgive us our collusion with the dominant messages of our world. Bless us with commitment to make changes in our lives that seek the common good. Bless us with courage to enact your vision of a new heaven and a new earth. The Lord says, "See, I am making all things new. Through him our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen." I'll now invite Ruby forward to read from the Bible for us. The first reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the first 7 verses. And the second is from Luke's Gospel chapter 16 and the first 13 verses.
First of all, that petition, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving to me to all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all God's holiness and holiness. This is good, and please God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator, between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to all the proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of all the Gentiles. Luke 16:1-13. The parable of the shrewd manager. Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know that I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called in each one of his master's efforts. He asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 3,000 liters of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 1,500. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 30 tons of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 24. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcome into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will? So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with its two riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Amen.
Thank you very much, Ruby. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our hymn leading into the sermon is number 710. "I Have a Dream," a man once said, which speaks beautifully of the dream of a better world of heaven on earth. Hymn 710. Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Truth. You are all gorgeous. And that's the truth. What is truth? Was the question that Pilate asked in frustration after Jesus' confusing reply during his interrogation. What is truth is a question that lives on. The parable that Ruby read for us this morning has been interpreted in a variety of different ways and continues to challenge preachers today. I think I've had a few sleepless nights over this one. But eventually, after wrestling with it, I personally see two truths in this passage. The most straightforward, the simplest one, is in the last few words that Jesus says in this passage. You cannot serve both God and money. That's the truth. The world would have it otherwise, but it's the truth. The other truth that I see is a bit more subtle. But it came to me that Jesus is pointing out the importance of relationships. It might be useful to note that in the Bible, in Luke's Gospel, the passage that comes before today's one is the story of the prodigal son, and the passage which follows is the cautionary tale of the rich man and Lazarus, which we'll look at next Sunday. All three of these speak about relationships between people and relationships between people and money. So the parable begins. There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. And it goes on to explain that he called him in and effectively sacked him. And that struck me as being very modern, sadly, that simply an accusation was enough for the rich man to sack his manager. We're not told anywhere whether that accusation was actually true. But the man was sacked, but he was obviously given a period of notice. These days, employees too often are sacked on the spot, with no time or opportunity to do as our shrewd manager did in this parable. The manager in our reading acted dishonestly. Or did he? He called in those who owed the rich man, his boss, a lot, and he drastically reduced their debts. Now, there's a number of possible explanations for this. It's possible that the rich man was charging interest on his loans, which goes against the Mosaic law. And all that the manager did was simply cut that interest off the debt. But of course, the rich man couldn't accuse him of doing that without showing up his own guilt. Or it's possible that the manager was paid commission, and all he did was simply knock off that debt what he would have been paid in commission. We don't know. The Bible only gives us a certain amount of information. What we are told is that realizing that he was unlikely to get another job, the dishonest manager decided to give some material assistance to people he knew in the hope that his relationship with them would prove strong enough that they would help him when he was in need himself. In his favor, at least he didn't actually cream off the profits for himself and just stash them away. And I suspect that his actions may have actually also improved the relationship between the rich man and those debtors. I do find it still surprising, though, that the rich man commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. And then I remembered that verse in Matthew 10, where Jesus is sending out his disciples. And one of the pieces of advice he gives is, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. So is this the truth hidden within this parable? That we should use all our worldly resources, both our possessions and our wits, our cleverness, our gifts, to benefit others, to build relationships with our neighbors and with God. It might seem slightly off topic, but I was reading a piece in the Life and Work magazine written by this year's moderator, the Reverend Colin Sinclair, in which he suggested that perhaps a better and more modern word for disciple might be apprentice. And I think that's an interesting thought. He went on to describe some of his early experiences with Scripture Union camps, BB camps, summer missions, and so on. And this is what he wrote. In these settings, people not only talked about faith, but they ate, laughed, and had fun as well. They saw faith being lived out before them in a very attractive way. Faith was caught as well as taught. I love that idea of people catching faith. And I think that's a lot of what we are trying to do in our work with young people. Young people these days have many difficulties to deal with, which never existed in my youth. Internet porn, social media bullying, and so many temptations, drugs, sex, violence. What our whole world needs more than ever before is truth, and in particular, the truth of the person of Jesus. As a church family, we are doing pretty well. Between all our different groups, we are engaging with young families, with primary children, and with secondary school children. But I don't know if you all know that virtually all of this work is funded by external funds. And applying for these funds takes a huge amount of time, skill, dedication, perseverance, and effort. And I know this is necessary at the moment because the givings of our church barely cover our basic daily, yearly needs. But I would love to see our church being able to use our resources to support our work with young people. And I'm not meaning just financial resources. We need more volunteers to help at all the different groups. We need help with the paperwork side of things, keeping records of children's contact details, consent forms. There's so much paperwork involved in everything these days. And we need help, and the odd person does already help with this, providing cakes for our parents at Mainly Music so that they know how much we love them, care for them. And we need prayer, lots and lots of prayer for everything we do, for all the plans and ideas. So if any one of you is even vaguely interested, I would encourage you, come along and see what we do. Tuesday mornings, Mainly Music, is 10 till 11:30. Monday afternoon and Friday afternoon are Planet Earth Club from about 3:30 by the time we walk them down from the school till about 4:30. And the cafe on a Friday evening, engaging with the teenagers. Why am I encouraging? Well, an elderly friend many years ago was always such a happy person. And I asked her what her secret was. And she replied, "I cultivate friendships with young people." Great advice. Paul's letter to Timothy encourages prayer, beginning with prayer for everyone, and then he specifies prayer for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. In Paul and Timothy's time when this was written, this stood in stark contrast to the Roman ruling that people should actually worship their kings and rulers. So Paul turns this around from praying to those in power to praying for them. For there is only one God. And today we need still to keep praying for the Queen and for all our leaders here in the UK and throughout the world. It's easy to criticize them. Far better and more effective to pray for them so that we might live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Paul continues, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." What is truth? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The truth, as I understand it, as it has been revealed to me, is the depth and breadth and height and length of God's love, displayed for us all in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his whole life for us so that we can all know God's love, the truth, and so that we can grow in our individual relationships with God and with each other. The truth is, that is far, far more valuable than any amount of money or possessions. Verse 7 of our reading from Timothy really echoed in my heart. Paul wrote, "For this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles." In the New Living Translation, Paul's words are translated as, "I'm not exaggerating, just telling the truth." I do believe that my purpose as a minister is to build relationships with every one of you so that you believe me when I tell you all the incredible, the immense truth about God's love for us all. The truth that God sees every single one of us as gorgeous, the truth called Jesus. Amen. Let us now continue our worship with the opportunity to give of our offerings towards the work of the church. Let us pray. Loving, living God, too often we forget or take for granted all the immense wonders that you have given us, from all the beauties of creation to the relationships we have with each other and with you, and the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we come to worship you with grateful, humble hearts, and we ask now that you receive these, our offerings, along with our worship, our prayers, and our everyday lives, and ask that you will use them, Lord, for the spreading of your good news, here and forth, and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. A beautiful hymn next, written by Fred Kahn, hymn 706, "For the Healing of the Nations, Lord, We Pray with One Accord." Continue to be blessed by this wonderful congregation, and especially by the fact that now, as we take up our offerings, everyone also is given, offered a prayer. And the prayers are written without me. The connection with the service is limited to me letting the person who writes them know the hymns and the readings. And I'm continually amazed at how well they work together. So do enjoy your weekly prayer. Let's come before God in prayer. Loving, living God, we thank you for the amazing variety of plants and animals you created, for all the beauty around us, and for the unseen beauty within every heart. Blessed Lord, from the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise you and you alone. Lord, keep your church in this single-minded devotion. Protect us from the temptation to devote our attention to worldly gains and to use all the gifts you give us to further the growth of your kingdom and spread the knowledge of your good news in your world. Lord, sustain us with your presence, your immense presence. Blessed Lord, hear our prayers for those in high positions, our Queen, our politicians, and leaders around the world, that the dignity of all may be upheld and honored, that all may be treated with equal respect. Lord, guide all nations in the ways of peace and justice. Blessed Lord, turn our hearts away from love of wealth and obsession with its false security. Set us free to trust in your bounty, be satisfied with sufficient, and ready to share our blessings of time, talents, and money with those less fortunate. Fix our hearts where true and lasting treasures may be found. Blessed Lord, in your love and mercy, save us from the anger and bitterness that destroys the soul. Quieten the raging hearts of those in distress and bring peace to troubled minds. Lift us from dust and ashes to true hope in you, the truth which sets us free. Blessed Lord, you desire the salvation of all people. Help us to reach out to everyone we encounter with your love, knowing that your desire is that they too know of your love and that you see them as gorgeous. My watch alarm reminds me it is now 12 o'clock, so please join me as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us continue our prayers in a time of silence, where we name all those who are weighing heavily on our hearts today, those who are bereaved, those who are in hospital, and all their families and friends, all who are in need of God's love today. loving, living God, we thank you that you lean towards us to listen to our prayers, that you hear each and every prayer, the spoken and the unspoken, the small and the large. And Lord, we thank you that you answer our prayers, frequently not in the timing that we would like, and often not in the way that we would like. But help us to trust that you know what is best for us, and to be patient and wait to see our prayers answered in your way, in your time, for your sake. Amen. Our closing hymn is a blessing, hymn 63, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. And I particularly love the words of the final verse, The Lord our God is good, his truth at all times firmly stood, and shall from age to age endure. Hymn 63 is our closing hymn. So now, as we go out into the week ahead, let's remember the truth. The truth there is one God alone, and he is a God who loves us and sees us all as gorgeous. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with each and every one of us today and forevermore.